Thank you, Monterey. Sam, how are you, Sam? Good. You need to keep an eye on Ben right there and slap Joe in the back of the head if you need to. He's first cousin, so he has permission. Wow. Service so far. If I was metal, I'd have a bit of rust on me, I think. But speaking of metal, I'm going to get a metal piece in my knee here in a couple weeks. Full knee surgery replacement January 31st, so I get to get that handled, and hopefully I won't have to wear my knee brace anymore. We'll see. Did you get the calf out?
Yep.
Alive?
No.
Oh. All right. Chris had to go help some neighbors with a breached calf this morning, I understand. Did you get all the nasty stuff off your hands before you came?
Still getting off on my
wife. Wiping it on your wife's leg? That's good. Whoever shook Chris's hand, you might want to wipe your hands on your pants right now. Well, praise the Lord. We do have a fair amount of things to do. I need to find... I always tell my wife, I try to get down to 2 pages of notes, which is about 20, 30 minutes, but I always end up at 3, which tends to be a little longer. But it's all right. Everybody's good. I have 4 parts to what's happening here this morning. First of all, just a quick intro, kind of bring everybody up to speed of where I'm at. We're going to be to Ephesians 3, so you guys can turn over to Ephesians 3 if you want. We'll talk a little bit about Ephesians 3. We're going to talk a little vision stuff. We're going to look into the past. We're going to look into the future. I'm going to just tell you where I'm at, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. And then we're going to end with communion, which will be at the back. And I prefer, just in terms of how it flows, if you two would go back and get communion handed out right now would be great. Ben and Joe. You two is code for Ben and Joe, just so you know. They have to call names. It's like, you two. So, Hunter, you didn't even respond. You didn't think I was talking to you, did you? No. It's a good-looking shirt you got on, by the way. Tonight, those of you who are on Flock Note, Gabe, you need to make a bigger pulpit. Like, we need to build something a little bigger.
Tear down some walls and paint.
No, don't tear the pews out and the walls just yet. So, new pulpit would be. What? All right. Holy Spirit is shifting us. Let's talk. I sent out a Flock Note yesterday. That said that the Lord has placed on my heart, and I believe Linda's heart, and in all reality, a lot of different folks have talked. I think that for 2023, feel like there needs to be a little bit of a deeper dive discussion, and again, not a teaching, very much a discussion. Very much a discussion. That, I don't know, I put it out, I think I said 2 to 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, so I'm kind of flexible. Yeah, I do have surgery at the end of the month, so probably try to at least end that particular segment before then, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be very open kind of process, and it'll be here in the sanctuary for those. And it's at 7 o'clock. 6:30 just felt like it was supper time, but 8:30 is our bedtime, so that's what we're kind of... Linda and I are jammed in between supper and bed. Got like 2 hours there. But then Ray, somebody told me this morning, I didn't go to bed till 11. Ray told me that. You said you don't fall asleep till like 11. Like, I haven't seen 11 o'clock in 2 years, I think. All right. I got it. Most of my thing came together this morning, and sometimes in teaching, preaching, very much try to condense it to 2 or 3 points so that it's kind of you can remember it. You know, somebody stands up here and talks for 30 minutes, you kind of remember the front and the back. So when I send Gabe an email, I usually bold it at the front and bold at the end because that's what he reads. He doesn't really read anything in between. So, no, I'm kidding, Gabe, but... Chris shook his head. He's not kidding at all. So, anyways, yeah, squirrel. So the This morning, though, I apologize ahead of time. This is a little, it's not messy, it's just a lot of information, so do your best to take notes or not take notes. I don't really care. I'm not a New Year's resolution guy, never have been. I don't write things down, but what I very much like to do is do a little bit of analytics. I do like to slow myself down. I like to look at the last year. I like to look at the next year. I like to figure out where the flow is at in my particular life. And some may say, well, you know, God's not that big from year to year. He's a times and seasons God, for sure. Like we could talk, we'll probably touch on this a little bit. Is you know, the last day of December and the first day of January a major shift for God? Maybe not, but don't think also that he's not about times and season. He created the whole thing to work like it does. So very much so for me, the beginning of the year is a little bit of just refreshment and kind of catching up. And that's going to be embedded throughout my discussion this morning with you all. And we'll also play into tonight a little bit and the next few weeks in discussion on that. But I want to just, again, hit some high points here. There is all of us, Michael, Scott, Daryl, I went to point at Ray, I meant to point at Gabe, unless you want to get on the preaching schedule, Ray. No? It's okay. We all come up here and we preach, and it's hard because we weave our personal testimonies in and out of what we're talking to the church body about. And sometimes, I think for you guys, it's similar to me. I feel like the Lord's telling me something. I come up here and share it, but I'm not sure if that's actually for everybody in the audience or it's just for me. I want to just say at the beginning to refresh, as all of us teach, I think we would all probably say this, we can only share from what's inside of us, right? And that sometimes that only applies to me, but sometimes it applies to you all. And you'll have to figure that part of it out. So if there's something here you're like, oh, that's Nick and not me, then that's great. Then you hold me accountable to it in a month, except for Matt. So anyways, here's as we launch into this, some of this is just my own kind of where I'm at and where I'm coming from and blah, 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 as it plays into some of the stuff that we're called to do tonight. I got saved at 6 years old over a toilet. You don't know this story, do you? Your mother, this is Sam Deem, he's Shelly's youngest, so he's one, I don't know where you're at in the rank of kiddos, but you're somewhere in the middle. But his mom led me to Jesus at a toilet when I was 6 years old. She's quite the evangelist anyways. And I remember it, man. I mean, it's as vivid as, I've never forgot it. I've always remembered this. It was up on 100 North. Chris remembers. It's the bathroom Gabe and I threw toilet paper all over the walls and got spankings. It was that bathroom. We were in. Shelly said, you want to accept Jesus today? I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. And she explained it to me, and we went in, and I knelt at the toilet. I have no idea if the lid was open or not. I don't even know if we had lids back then. But I remember accepting Jesus as my Savior at 6 years old. And I knew for a long time, you know, that was just normal process when church did all the stuff, right? Well, the last 30 years, that was 40, you know, I don't know, that was 44 years ago, whatever. I'm 50, by the way, so it's easy math. So that was 44 years ago. The last 30 years has been a little more precise in terms of got married, traveled out of this state, lived for a year to Bible college, and just done a lot of different things, and the Lord speaking and doing different things. Here's what I want to basically kind of bring to the point. There's something happened 5 years ago in terms of this local regional body. 5 years ago, Pastor Paul passed away. Okay. What, you started this crying thing.
Sorry, Nick, we're with you.
Thank you, Michael. Hey, what are you doing in the back row anyways?
Changing it up.
Matt stole your seat.
He was there first.
Pastor Paul, 5 years ago, fall of 2017, we went with Pastor and Carrie to Pennsylvania during the summer. Come on, Nick. During the summer of 2017, and all I'll say is this, I'll just condense this and say a major transfer from him and Carrie into Linda and I happened during that summer. That is not to say that he didn't transfer to a whole bunch of us. That is not, I'm not elevating myself in any position. I'm just saying I was the only one with him in that particular trip. And there was something happened on that trip, and Pastor had just kind of transferred something. I'm not even sure. I've so prayed about it over the years. I just don't know what it was, but what some deposit got in me. And here's what I'm saying. He didn't do it on purpose. I know he wasn't thinking it, but what I know is I got something that triggered something down inside of me. Stop looking at me like that. So, making my tears go. He released a call. I wrote down there was a confidence that came from him. Now, I've said this many times, and again, I know I'm rambling here a little bit, but I'll tie all this together. I knew, and I still know today, that I love this box, I love this group, I love this people, but just to be clear, and this is not new information, I'm not called just to this box. I'm called to this region, and I think all of you are as well. I think sometimes we get boxed into, oh, that's my church. No, the church isn't these four walls. The church is the ecclesia, the body of Christ regionally. And there's a bunch of us called to do something different in this region, not just, yeah, this might be our hub, this might be our launch point, but the reality is, we need to get together with all the other boxes too, and we need to work together in our region to do some stuff. So I've known there's a call on that, and Pastor, just so you know privately, that was his whole thing. Like, he wasn't about this box, although he made his living as a pastor, and he had to get his paycheck. He could care less about this particular box, although he loved us. He was all about the region. He was all about networking. He was all about collaboration. He was all about doing something great that 10,000 years from now the Lord would be proud of, which had nothing to do with his paycheck. So it just interesting man. Now, out of that, I picked up a third mom. Carrie is that was tight enough that Carrie is still, I mean, there's mom, there's Judy, and then there's Carrie. And so for me, there's still a really strong connection and a really strong bond there with Carrie. Now, all of that brings me to where we're at today in terms of where at least I think that we as a body of Christ and my part of that, I'm just a part, you're all a part of that, but what is our part? What does 2023 look like? And there's layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of what Holy Spirit is doing. The reason I titled it Holy Spirit is Shifting Us, you'd have to be completely spiritually illiterate to not understand something's going on around here, okay? Something is moving. Something's happening. There's words. There's things. There's visions. There's dreams. There's all kinds of really cool stuff that is just keeps happening. A little more happens, a little more happens, a little more happens, and things are just happening, okay? And so there's the Holy Spirit is moving and doing some things. So for me, there's all of these layers of things that are going on, and I'm asking the Lord, what does 2023 look like? It's been almost, to Lynn's point, mid-October, and although I was supposed to preach, it just happened that there was a couple Sundays like youth and some other things fell on my Sunday, so I got off. Scott would say I planned it like that, but I didn't, Dr. Scott. I didn't schedule my, even though I am control of the schedule, so you could blame me for that. Just a lot of things happening. There's a lot of interesting things that are coming up. If you're over in Ephesians 3, we're going to shift gears here for just a second. I need to blow my nose here. Not blow it, just, this happens like every time I preach, isn't it? What
it's
is that?
It's David's fault.
Hey, I was told at the end when we do communion, the juice could be going through a phase. So,
maybe you need to be 21 to participate.
So, when Ray told me about it, I'm like, well, we're doing it at the end. Then I thought, well, then we're going to go drive, too. So is it too close? I'm not sure. But yes, we're good. Just saying, prepare yourself for later. That's kind of funny, isn't it? One communion cup per person. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. You guys there? We're just going to read the whole chapter. It's only 21 verses. I am going to read King James, so a little clunky, but follow along. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he, Jesus, made known unto me, Paul, the mystery, and I wrote this in a few words, so that when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery, or in the mystery of Christ, which in all the other ages was not made known unto us as the sons of men. But it is now revealed unto us, his holy apostles and prophets, by the Holy Spirit. Again, summary real quick. Paul's saying to them, something has been revealed that has been hidden for ages. It's now come to his apostles and prophets, and I'm sharing it. I'm writing it for you to read. Verse 6, this is the mystery. This is it. Pay attention. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, Paul, who am the less of all the, or I'm sorry, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hid in God, who created all of this by Jesus Christ. To the intent now, that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And all God's people said, amen. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Now, I read chapter 3, the book of Ephesians is fantastic. I wrote down five things about the book of Ephesians that I think it's the most senior letter in the Bible. Many have referred to it as the constitution book of the new Christian. I mean, it's a regular statement from theologians that it's the most richest book that there is in terms of instructions to the ecclesia, body of Christ, church. It's just one of those senior letters. Paul wrote it at the end of his life. And it's just filled with very instructional detail stuff. One of the things it does pretty clearly, and again, I'm just going to hit this real quick. The book, if you go back and read from 1 to 6, it does a few things. Here's the number one thing it does. It puts Jesus as the head, fullness of God in flesh body. Gabe will talk about this in a second. Gabe's been preaching about Jesus becoming, he's the Word made flesh. Well, the book of Ephesians clearly establishes that particular thought. It also clearly defines the church's position and authority. The famous, take you on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. This book is describing our own particular authority. It clearly defines the operation of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, it defines clearly the functioning of the fivefold ministry, the saints, the body, the fellowship, the community. It's just loaded, frankly. And why do I say that's important this morning? Well, I'm going to give you kind of four things I think that leap out of the book of Ephesians to me that have been happening and I think will continue to happen here in our local body, and kind of use them as a guide. So the first one is this, And I'm not gonna really do a big commenting section on this just for time's sake. But the first one is real simple. That comes out of chapter 3, and frankly, all of these are impregnated throughout the whole book. Number one is grace. Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace. Verse 7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace. Gabe has been preaching on grace and grace and grace and grace and more grace, and there's been a ton of revelation to Gabe, and I think even some of the other guys have preached on this. I think this is one of the number one things that is coming to this body. It's coming to the world around us, is the revelation of grace. I think it will continue. I think Holy Spirit will continue to give revelation to not only those of us who maybe are sharing the word, but to everybody. There'll continue to be a flow of the revelation of grace. Number two, real quick, is that all through the book, in verses 3, 5, all through this chapter, and don't write these down, you can just go study this later, 3, 4, 5, 9, 10, 18, and 19, the idea of revelation, revealing, Paul says to see, Paul says to know. The concept, folks, that we still need to see things that aren't seen yet, right? So the idea here is that Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus is this new grace, this new revelation, this new idea, what comes with it is an unveiling of all kinds of stuff. Like I just said, there's at least 8-9 verses in there, and that's just my highlights off the top of my brain. Just that chapter alone, Paul repeats the concept. There's stuff to be revealed. There's stuff to be thought about. Jesus in Matthew 6, basically his prayer, I don't know where it's at, but thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So earth, I think you mentioned this in one of your sermons as well, but earth has got to come to heaven. That's our prayer. Well, I don't know. Has anyone been to heaven yet? I haven't. So I'm not exactly sure what that looks like. Well, the revealing, right, the revealing of what it means for heaven to come to earth is a visual component of what Paul's saying. I'm going to reveal, God's going to reveal, the New Testament church should be in a regular flow of revelation, revealing, seeing, and knowing. Okay? That's going to continue. Well, what's the difference? Well, there's a lot of times that church is just a, why don't you come and we'll just pound on the stuff we've known for 40 years, and it's boring, and it's just, it doesn't do anything. I'm expecting, and it's already been happening, that Holy Spirit is going to give revelation to key individuals. This is a little more boring instructional stuff this morning, but the flow of the Spirit in our ecclesia, in our body of Christ, is be expecting to know something this afternoon that you didn't know this morning. Expect for the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you that you didn't know so that you can minister to somebody. Expect the unknown to become known, because that's ultimately where the body of Christ has got to move to, is we have got to move into the place that we know. We're already doing pretty well what we know to do. That's the problem. We need to get into the realm of what we don't know, which is in other human beings' lives and what they need from us and what we need to do. Amen? So we need to move into that revelation. So the first one is things I saw in here that I think we've been in the past and will continue. First of all, I think grace is going to continue. I think there's going to be a revelation and a revealing. The third one, which is in verses 6, 8, 9, 10, 12, 16, 19, and 20, again, pregnant with this thing, is the mystery of us being co-heirs. Co-heirs. Think about that for a second. Where's that? That is in verse 6. That this is the secret, right? Paul opens this whole thing. I got a secret. It's been hid throughout all of the ages, and now I'm going to tell you what it is. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That is really exciting. I know, we're just sitting here. We've heard this over and over. But the mystery of the co-heirs, what does that mean? Let me read to you of those verses I read. I'm just going to give you 5. Unsearchable riches of Christ. That's one of the statements that he uses. Unsearchable riches of Christ. Manifold wisdom of God. Wow. Boldness, confidence of Him. Wow. Riches of His glory, filled with the fullness of God. Those 5 things are mentioned in like 12 verses. Those alone, there isn't any of us in here even getting one of those, right? But here's the point. Here's what I want to say about these two points, right? Revelation, a revealing of what's in the toolbox. Then there's a revelation and a revealing that I'm a co-heir and that I actually own the toolbox. See, I can look there and say, that's all what Jesus is. He's awesome. He's got searchable riches. He's got power. He's got wisdom. He's got revelation. And I can still stand over here and go, well, I don't have any of that, right? But what Paul's saying here very quickly and very concisely is, not only do you have all the tools in the toolbox, but oh, by the way, you're an heir to that toolbox. Like it's yours. You have access to it, right? So the third thing that I think is Holy Spirit's moving this us to, grace, revelation, and the fact that we have got to step into the idea that we are co-heirs. And the last thing real quick here is just community. This is the biggest one in here. It's got 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 13, 15, 18, 20. Those are verse numbers, by the way. But there's 12, 13 references that Paul says, all saints, I did this for you, fellow heirs, same body, church, ecclesia, fellowship, family. I just decided not to list everything in that one chapter that Paul referenced about the idea that this is not a Christianity about me. It doesn't work. That I'm just sitting in my chair at home just about me, right? The whole idea of Christianity is a community. It's a family. It's a body. It's a concept that we go forward together, all right? Again, we could debate and talk about the size of that, whether it's this or whether it's this or whether it's this. I definitely think it's way bigger than this. Maybe it's not the state. Don't know. Maybe you are called to the state. Maybe you're called to the nation. I know that I'm particularly called to the region, the county, and maybe some surrounding counties. I know in talking with my brothers, and there's a three-chord thing that's been there forever, and it will continue to grow. We feel regionally, probably multi-county, called. God's doing something that He's got us called to do. Not sure what all that looks like, but the reality is we're working toward that. Verse 18, go to verse 18. We're going to zero in on this, and then we're going to move to the next segment. Let's look at 17, 18, and 19 real quick, though. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. My Bible is one of those ones, it's got everything underlined, marked, highlighted. Those three verses are mind-blowing. If you really just camped on those three verses, the depth of those three verses is off the charts in terms of what that is. But verse 18 brings into play three of the four things I'm talking about. Revelation, co-heir, and the community part. Look at it with me real quick. That you may be able to comprehend. That's revelation. Comprehending is revelation. It's a revealing, it's a knowing. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints. It's going to take the community to equal this comprehension. You're not going to do this by yourself. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? This is the mystery of the co-heir. I want to add something before we transition here, which is actually my transition point. Breadth, length, depth, height. I don't know what's that, three-dimensional. Is there anyone in here, and I will cheat, Steph, you may already know this, or anybody who's actually, your family may know this too, I don't know. Does anybody know what scientists call the fourth dimension? You do? Okay, don't say it yet, so it's good. I did not know I was one of those, I didn't know, I had to Google it. There is a fourth dimension, and it's pretty cool what it is. And I think it's a major. I did not know this till this morning, and I have had the Lord talking to me about this particular element for some time, and it being a misunderstood part of humans, and everybody's like, well, just tell us what it is, because you and Steph are having a conversation right now. We don't even know what you guys are talking about. The fourth dimension is time. The fourth dimension is time. Yeah. it's interesting. I went past this, and I was back and forth on it, and the Lord just, like, nailed me with this. There literally are, there's four Greek words there. There are four different words. It's not an overlap. There's four dimensions of God in verse 18. And I don't know if it all ties, but in physics, I think, would that be right, Steph? Would it be physics? Is that the right word? I don't know. But in physics, when you three-dimensional is what human beings sense for the most part, and we can deal with that, the fourth dimension gets a lot more complicated, and it's the factor of time. Now, we're going to go a little off Bible script here. Nope, yeah. On April 3rd, 2022, I preached April 3rd, 2022, okay, last year. I preached a sermon entitled Times and Seasons. I'm not even going to ask if any of you remember it, because nobody will raise their hand, and then I'll feel bad. Nice try, Michael. You're just brown-nosing. You might remember the two terms I used, though, in that particular season. One was Kairos, and one was, say it, Chronos. So on that particular day, and I went back doing my typical look back and review and look at some of my notes, I preached a sermon on times and seasons. And it was so interesting, because when this connected that fourth dimension of time, I immediately went to that Kairos, Chronos, and I want you to be clearly understanding where I'm at and what I feel in my spirit is I'm no longer making the statement that we are in an awakening or that we are in the flow. We're not making the statement we're going to be in an awakening or we're going to be in a flow. We're in it. Like, we're in the Kairos time right now. I think that God is doing things. We're in a Kairos moment. I don't know how long they last, don't care how long they last. I think we're in a Kairos moment. And the difference of that, just for those of you who maybe not know exactly what that means, real quickly, is during harvest season, when I'm in my combine harvesting corn, that's a Kairos moment for me. The guy who's just driving past and has no combine, has no cornfield, he just looks at it as a Chronos time, because in his mind, he just wants the tractors and all the stuff off the road. He has no idea. He's not partaking of the harvest. To him, it's just a time thing. Get these farmers out of the way and get them home, get their tractors off the road so I can drive 60 miles an hour, right? But for the farmer, they're in a Kairos moment. They're like, they're getting the stuff right out of the field. I just was testing you to see if you would do something like that. It's good, Ben. So, Kairos moment. I do want to read something real quick. This is that sermon. I have two words here I want to read. Again, just connecting some dots. We're doing good. During that sermon, the Lord had given me this particular word. I believe Jesus is moving his ecclesia into a new area. I am going to refer to it as spirit readiness. I believe the ecclesia is going through a metamorphosis process and will emerge to be defined by its new flexibility, unpredictability, and risk-taking leaders. It will see the return of the adventurous, pioneering spirit, which will be marked by its complete unwillingness to conform to tradition or anything that looks or smells the slightest bit religious. The ecclesia, when mature, will look and feel like the wind itself. Now, I think that that's not left me. I don't get very many words. I know some people get words where they can write them down. That happens to me like once every 5 years. So I wrote that one down, and it's kind of stayed top of my brain, and the Lord had me reread it this morning. Here's another prophetic word that I had. I don't recall where this one came from. I apologize, but I wanted to say it. There's an aligning among my lions that will usher in a new shift in the earth. Powers will shift, authorities will shift, and ungodly rulers will be unseated. I am making room for those that are righteous to rule the land. The foundation of this alignment will be laid by my apostles and prophets. The aligning will be a source of activation, release, and unity among my ecclesia. Do not become distracted. Do not become discouraged. Set your heart in alignment with my word and my purposes. Align with those voices I am raising up in the land. You will hear different roars with different anointings, but as they align, you will see clearly that I am in the midst of the roar and my voice is at the center. This word is emerging as a new wine that is being poured out. Shortly after that, I think September, David. Where's David? Is he still here? Yes. David, in September, you had the word about the new tongues going into the earth, and we printed that out, and that I think that ties directly into some of that as well. Anyways, just making a note, right? On June 5th, and I'm almost to the end of page three. I'm almost done. Seriously, like we don't have very much to go. June 5th. Does anybody remember what June 5th was? Do you?
Pentecost.
Yes.
Huh?
She was the next one I was going to, so she remembers because she's the one that reminded us all that it was Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, really odd Sunday. I went back and looked at my notes, and here's what I actually have my notes from then, so I copied them. Pentecost Sunday, my first note was after the fact. When I left church service that day, I was instructed, I went back and took some notes about what happened that day, and so this is kind of an afterthought notes. Number one, I did not know it was Pentecost Sunday. Kelly reminded us it was Pentecost Sunday. That morning I had shared that I have preached so many times, I don't get too nervous about it anymore. I've just taught for so long and preached, and I always have something. That was the first Sunday that I can remember in my life that at 9:15, I had nothing. And I had to be here at 10:30 to preach. I had nothing. And I said, when I got here, I knew that nothing was the answer. I just didn't know what to do with it, right? So I don't know if whoever was here in that particular service. So I came up here and I said, my question is, what do you do when you don't know what to do, right? And immediately I had the statement, does anyone think they should pray? And by the time I got the words out of my mouth, 8, 9 of you raised your hand and prayed. And the old man David joined the young kids. But it was all a bunch of young kids up here. And as that went on through the week, we had confirmation that something happened on that Pentecost Sunday. And when we driving home, Lynn, I was just like, that was horrible. I was terrible. Like, who would invite me back to do anything like that? And Lynn's like, listen, it's all right. Maybe you were terrible, but Holy Spirit took over and released something. Something broke in the Spirit. And the reason I go back to this is because there's something that has been happening, right? There's movement. There's things that are happening. I had titled my message, Out of Control and a Paradigm Shift, and you guys remember the dream I've shared about Ezekiel 47 and me on a swing, blah, blah, blah. Well, Steph named the sermon, Get Used to Uncomfortable, which is a great, great statement, right? And so the download from heaven that morning about Ezekiel 47 and the prophet who makes his way across and he says he can't pass it, the Lord's like, in order to flow with me, you just got to kind of get out of control. Like, you're not going to be able to touch the bottom. You're not going to be able to swim. You're not going to be able to navigate. You just got to go. Just go. Just go with me. That's what it's going to be required in this new ecclesia model, is you're just going to have to roll with it. You're not going to know what's happening, which is really, really fantastic. I'm kidding, just so you know. That's not fantastic. That's hard on the flesh. And then Allie, where's Allie? She's not here. She didn't get out of bed. Okay. Allie went and got communion that morning. You went and got communion with her. But we had communion that morning. By the way, we have communion here. So June 26th, so just 2 weeks later, and again, wrapping down. June 26th, I preached, and we talked about that Pentecost Sunday, and the word acceleration came up. I think you titled the sermon Acceleration, Steph. I'm not particularly sure. I didn't do a lot of digging on this other than I had one note about a chess game in which I basically said, you're playing a chess game and all of a sudden when one guy's on defense and one guy's on offense, there's an acceleration in the game. And boom, it's over. Even before it's over, you might think that the game's taking a long time, but that game's over if the player who's on aggression knows how to play the game. It's just going to be game over.
Right, Hunter?
Yeah. Yes. We won't say which one.
Yes.
We got some chess players. It's great. Last one that I want to just kind of pull this stuff together. During that particular June 26th sermon, we talked about the chess game. We talked about the fact that I had talked that week to Roger. I don't know if you were here. I told you guys that the morning I woke up and called him, and he had been woke up that middle of that night, talked to me. That was this particular sermon. And he said to me on the phone that morning that you have an old place to exit and a new flow to enter. Very specific words. And he specifically then began to instruct me that the old place to exit is a static kind of predetermined outcome. You know what it's going to look like. You know what time it's going to be. You know what place it's going to be. And you just kind of go through the rhythm of doing it. We're exiting that place and entering a place where it's flowing. Well, when things are flowing, you don't really know, you're not in control. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to show up. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know how short it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to taste like. I don't know what color it's going to be. Don't care. Well, that's hard on flesh. That is really hard on flesh. But that's where we're at. We've been in this season of transitioning from an old place of exiting to a new flow that we're heading into. Why? Because it's not for us. It's because God's trying to wrap this thing up. Like, he's got people out there that are dying and going to hell, like Jim Elliot discovered 50 years ago and decided to go put his life on the line. Like, this won't be easy. This isn't going to be fun. This could be painful. This could be costly. It might cost us money to help people. It might cost us time to help people. It might cost us even reputation and pushback to go do what we're supposed to do. But so what? We're going to go do it, right? Amen? Amen. So here's four things real quick I just want to bring out, and I'm closing. Roger that morning told me on the phone, and I said this in the sermon, I had a note that he told me something that I didn't share with you guys. I think I said Roger had a word for the church, and I didn't share it, and I think it's time to share it this morning. He basically said that, and this would have been June, he basically said, and he had had this word with me for probably a year and a half, there is a new wineskin happening in Corona. He said, I'm not suggesting that it's the only wineskin that's happening. He said, don't get a big head and think you're the only one. But he said, I'm telling you, God is doing something new in small towns all over the place. And the newness is, he is starting to shift his ecclesia, his body of Christ, out of a boxed mentality and getting their butts out there where they belong, getting them flowing with the Spirit, and getting them to where there's going to be signs and wonders and angelic activity and all kinds of wonderful stuff, so that an awakening and a revival can actually take place. Because there isn't going to be any awakening and revival without some signs and wonders. That's scriptural. That's biblical. So he said that to me months ago. Chris handed me a paper Friday, and half the thing is about that. So it's just like there's confirmation all over about that. Again, let's not get a big head. The new wineskin, there's a lot goes into that, but basically it's just a new thing. Like, we got to think differently. We got to challenge ourselves, right? Here's four things I want you to think about that we're going to continue to do, and then we're going to go in right in here to communion and wrap this thing up. Number one thing that's going to continue to happen, that's been probably, you could headline this, is the call of what I'm particularly about, and that is we're going to continue to merge streams. Merging streams, merging body of Christ, merging churches, collaboration. God is done with his body of Christ being all segmented and only thinking about themselves. Like, he is going to continue to merge not only streams, but the fivefold ministry. Gabe talked about this. You can't merge something that's not flowing. So the first step is we got to get flowing. We got to get working. This is what these evenings are going to be a lot about, is what is the flow? What are we doing? How do we merge? How do we bring the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the pastoral, and the instructional teacher? How do those gifts come together? How do they work? How do they make the ecclesia think different, work different? Blah, blah, blah. Okay? Number two, awakening plus reformation equals revival. You've heard this term. I do think there's an awakening. I think there are people that are awakening. I think there's people that are hungry, and I think that's going to continue. According to the Word, it's absolutely going to continue. There is going to be a great revival. I just put a couple words together, though. Awakening plus reformation equals revival. You can have an awakening and a lot of people going to heaven, and nothing changes. Okay? Awakening's great, but the reformation, the remodeling, the changing of what I'm talking to us about, the church has got to think different. Okay, if we don't think different, all we're going to do is just get a bunch of people saved and they'll go to heaven, but nothing will change down here, right? So what has to happen is an awakening plus the reformation equals true sustainable revival. Okay, now that takes a little bit more. That takes the apostolic, that takes the prophetic, that takes the evangelistic, pastoral, and teacher. Listen, you guys can see that's four groups, right? The pastoral and the teacher, they've stood over here, and that's pretty much been the church for the last 50 years. The evangelist, he was invited as long as he wouldn't cause any trouble, right? So he could come to the church every now and then. That's why they called him traveling evangelist, because they couldn't really sit anywhere. Then there was the prophet that everybody's like, ah, they're lunatics. Like, let's definitely not have a prophet show up on Sunday morning, because they may mess everything up, right? And then the apostolic, oh yeah, those went away 3,000 years ago. Those aren't even in the church, the apostolic. Well, none of that's true. And all that was segmented. And all of it's, God's bringing all that back together. He's bringing all those anointings back together. And they aren't titles, they're functions. They're not titles, they're functions. Are you a dad? Is that a function or a title? It's both, but the real responsibility is in the function, right? You got to go be a dad. So these aren't titles, they're just functions. And everybody can function in them, right? God may have you functioning in all of them. Merging streams, awakening plus reformation. Number four, and I got number three, outside this box mentality. I don't even need to talk about that. That's going to continue as long as I have a voice. I'm pushing outside this box. Okay, this is great, but I'm ready to get outside. And the last one, which I think is the greatest one of all of them. Young lions are on fire. Amen. Young lions. The young lions are on fire. Let me define this a second. Roger's word to me in September, when he woke up, one of the words, because that's right, I'm sorry. When he called me that morning, I said, okay, before I tell you what I'm dealing with, you tell me what you got at 3 a.m. in the morning because we haven't talked. The second thing he told me was there are young people where this revival is coming through. And he said to the older people, no, he said to the young people first, you guys were the first instruction. If the old people are on the path in front of you, don't push them down and shove them out of the way. Just work around them. Okay? Yes. Amen, sister. Then he said to me, he said, now I'm pivoting to you, Nick, because you're in the old group. He said, if you look behind you and they're trying to get around you, get out of the way. Like, and don't do what you used to do, which is, ooh, the old young kids got an anointing. Let's go teach them and instruct them and put them. Like, he's like, no, just get out of their way. Give them preciseness, hold them accountable, but at the end of the day, get out of their way, because when they go by you and they lead, you're going to feel a vacuum and your anointing is going to come pouring forward. All of us old people's anointings are going to come pouring forward. And here's what he said. Young does not mean single, means married. There's a generation of young, and there's got to be some bridges built between the singles and the marrieds and the marrieds with kids and the marriage without kids. And there's going to be a network that Spirit of God's going to put together. But the young people are going to lead this thing. Does that mean we're not going to have a part? Absolutely, we're going to have a part. But the point being is, you get it. It's instructional. Get out of the way. A few other things. You got your communion ready here in just a second. A few other things that are going to happen. Dreams, visions, words, prophecies, divine connections, signs and wonders, healings, angelic activity, both seen and unseen, new tongues, new interpretations, new casting out of devils. That we are going to see a return to the New Testament church that is in this Bible. Amen? Because God needs a remnant that is going to do this. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9:14. We're going to do communion. Huh? Yes, you can.
Turn to Mark.
Okay, turn to Mark 10.
If you want to read Mark 10.
You want to read it?
No, I don't want to read it. Okay. 17 through 21, Dad.
17, Mark 10, 17 through 21.
Yep.
And when he was gone into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why call you me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I observe from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?
So my Bible, when it says, Jesus looked at him, say he looked at him with these eyes. Allie sent me a podcast yesterday that David sent to her. And the whole thing is about walking with Jesus. I won't mention his name, but he says in his podcast, this guy missed it. He was supposed to be walking with Jesus. He's following Jesus. Jesus called him to come. So I want to read in Isaiah 43 as well. If we go Isaiah 43, 25 through 26. And my question for this verse right here is, who is this for? Is it for us or is it for someone else? In the podcast, one thing that really stuck out with me was in the Old Testament when a sinner brought a lamb to get sacrificed to take his sins away. The high priest did not look at the sinner; he looked at the lamb. He examined the lamb. He examined how perfect it was. He didn't look at how many sins was on that person. Jesus is our perfect lamb. Our God Father is looking at Jesus, not at us. He's saying, I don't see your sins. I see the perfect lamb and the blood that covered you. So you can partake of the bread. And the blood. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. State your cause that you may be justified. Really stuck out. He said he blots it out for not our sake, but his own sake. Because he wants us to be with him. He wants communion. He wants fellowship with us.
Amen. You can close in prayer.
All right. Lord, come with us. Keep pushing boundaries. Keep shifting us into new ways. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace. And we thank you for Jesus coming in. To taking away our sins, the perfect lamb that he laid down. Go into the rest of the week. Bless tonight. Bless the rest of the lives. In your son's name, amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Mm-hmm.